On this introductory slide, you will see two dates. Today, 17/11/2016, and another date, 24 November 1996. It has been a long, long time since I wait for today. 20 years ago, this is the first time I'm giving a report of the Lord's call for me into His service. 20 years. The last time I stood up here to give you all the background of my call leading to my commendation, it was on the 24th of November 1996, a month after I was commended. I took the opportunity to give you a background of how I came to be called of the Lord for what I'm doing now. 20 years, it has been a long time, but I thank the Lord for this opportunity to relate to you what He did for me and what I could do for Him. Today, we shall be discussing my call, commission, and commendation. Or to be more specific, not my commendation. My commendation and ministry for Him I shall leave for next week. But for today, I shall speak on my call and my commission before my commendation. Now, this is done especially to give you an encouragement to see what the Lord had done for me. It is a message, especially to the young adults, that if you are prepared to surrender yourself to the Lord can do wonderful things for you. So this is part one, my call before commission and commendation. With this, let us go on. Now, I was wondering 2 weeks ago what and how I should say to you about this testimony. Because if wrongly presented, it might be something like this person here is trying to boast of his achievements. And I was praying to the Lord, Lord, how am I going to do all this? Because I do not want to put myself out, but then if I don't do so and tell you of what you have accomplished in my life, then how will the people know? But some people may misunderstand it and think that I'm boasting. Then the Lord spoke to me through that daily devotion I had from that which I was using at that time, a Hebrew word for the day, where I would study one Hebrew word a day and what it would imply. And so that day, it was on 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. And in that exposition, there was a passage that was drawn to show how this Old Testament word was used in the New Testament. And it is used in 2 Corinthians 4, 7. And we read, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Ah, that's right. That today I stand before you, I testify, not because of me, but because of what the Lord had done for me. And therefore this comment, Paul was relentlessly attacked by false teachers in Corinth who tried to undermine him as being without oratorical skills, without good looks, and just plain common. How could such a person, they insisted, have any credibility in what he teaches? That's myself. Because at that time, I did not have any oratorial skills with me. I murmured, I stammered, I could not speak well. My tongue was so short, my mother said that I should go for an operation to lengthen my tongue because I could not roll my R. And I was about to do that when I talked properly. And I was without good looks. I do not know my wife, why she chose me. But I think she chose me for my heart rather than for my head. So anyway, I'm thankful to her because without her, I cannot do what I am doing today. Yeah, I was not a good person at all. There was nothing good in me. Therefore, this Dr. Watson in that devotion continued to explain. As the adage goes, Paul was between a rock and a hard place. How should I present this testimony so that people do not misunderstand me and think that I'm boasting? He needed to defend the gospel, which these Judaizers were undermining, but how could he defend himself without appearing proud? Lord, how could I do this? The answer. You are quite correct. I'm nothing but a common cheap clay pot. That was what Paul said. With no value of my own, but I contain the most priceless message on earth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The value is not in me, but in God. I hope at the end of this testimony, this will be your testimony of me. The value is not in me, but in God and what God did for me. What a blessing it is to be a clay pot, earthen vessel, clay pot. Yes, that's what I am, a cheap clay pot. So let me start by giving you an introduction to my background. I have been with you for 20 years, over 50 years, but many of you do not know my background and my family. So let me give you an idea. Firstly, myself as now. I'm just a common cheap clay pot, remember that. But this cheap clay pot has value because of what is inside this pot. And this is the goodness and the glory of the Lord in me that today I hope will shine out to see, for you to see what God did for me, He could do for you. Only to be what He wants me to be, every moment of every day, yielded completely to Jesus alone, every step of the pilgrim way, just to be clay in the potter's hands, ready to do what His word commands. Only to be what He wants me to be, every moment of every day. You see how cheap a clay pot I am, cannot even sing well. Therefore, dare not even join the Christmas choir. And that's what I am. But still, only to be what He wants me to be. That will be my motto. Now, my background. Myself and my family then, at that time. Well, my parents, my father, he was a backslider. He should have been here for the last one quarter or so to listen to all the talks on backsliding. But whatever might be said of him, he was a member of Burmara Gospel Hall. He never attended Burmara Hall for many, many years. And late, the last few years he did. Why? Because I introduced a new project. All those who claim, who want to be buried in the Christian cemetery should be members of Burmara Gospel Hall. A slip was introduced, sign that you are a member of the Burmara Gospel Hall. And to show that you are a member, you must attend, at least for the last 2-3 years. That's how he came back. He came back. And I think perhaps the oversight here may introduce this also, because the Western Road Cemetery is slowly running out of place. My mother was an unbeliever until she was on her deathbed. Oh, that was my father with grandchildren. She was on the deathbed, And then Mr. Wilson Wong from Balmoral Gospel Hall came to speak to her, and she trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. That was what I was told, because I was too young to understand. My mother died when I was 7 years old, and my father stayed single until 93. That was how old he was as a single father. But I was brought up by my grandparents who were not Christians, and because of that, I had been to nearly every temple in Penang. I was the godson of Huchoma Kuan Deng. I went to Hoya's birthday to pray, to worship. I went to Hutton Lane to pray to Kau Tee Tang, and so on. So I had been to all these places. I'm not a stranger to idolatry. Myself and my family there, then, at that time. Now, do you know anything about my family? Many of you don't, because you hardly have ever come to my house. But if you come to my house, you will see a wall, and you will see all my children there, and my grandchildren there, and myself there. That photograph has got three generations of children. Myself, my children, and my grandchildren, all on the wall. And if you come to my house, that's the first thing you will see. And many of you have not seen it because you have not been to my house. Right. And now these are the children that have grown up, and here they are. They are what you see today. That was at least, I think, 10 years ago when I celebrated my 70th birthday. However, I've got two sons, one daughter, and with five grandchildren. Oh, four only here. One is missing. All right, one is here. She and her mother were missing in the previous photograph. So that's my granddaughter and my daughter-in-law. So this is my background. My children, all of them are away from me, and we are left alone, my wife and myself, in the house. That's what we are, back to square one. So those of you who are in square one, don't think that when you get married, you'll get many, 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 many who will be beside you. You may end up in square one and single one. All right, now let me give you my background and my call by the Lord, my call and consecration. It all started with my conversion, of course, how I came to know the Lord. My father, though a backslider, he took me to Sunday school, Burma Road Gospel Hall. I was sitting on his pillion. He pillioned me on his bicycle every Sunday to the Sunday school. My Miss Martha Samuel was my teacher then, at that time also. Now, I was saved on 17 September 1950. 1950, that will be over 40 years ago. No, more than that. All right? So, it was at a time when Mr. A.E. Phillips was driven out from China, communist China. And then he fled to Singapore, stayed there for a month or so. Then he came to Penang to be the missionary connected with Burma Road Gospel Hall. Here he is. He preached for the first time at Burma Road Gospel Hall in the gospel meeting. Myself and another friend, two of us, came to know the Lord at that meeting. He challenged us. Those who want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, put up your hand. We were cowards. We dare not. But Sunday night, I went home. I still could remember, in front of the window at about midnight, I knelt down, Lord, take my life. Lord, save me. I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ on 17th of September. Then, my public confession. I was baptized on 22nd October, 1 month after my salvation. Today, there are many people who wait for months and for years before they get baptized and dare to confess before the Lord. 1 month after my confession, and people remarked, how can this young boy of 13 years old mean really that he had trusted the Lord? How can we trust him so young? He doesn't understand. Mr. S.S. Adams, who was a missionary at this time here, he counted with this. "I was 7 years old when I was saved," said Mr. S.S. Adams. "And here, 13 years old, he could be trusted. And I was baptized. And I still remain faithful to the Lord up to today. 13, now I'm coming to 80 years old. So you can count the years that the Lord has sustained me all this time. The Lord is wonderful. From this stage on, my baptism, and after that, through the things that I went through, four things governed my life. They revolved around me. What were they? And I hope that these four things may be yours too, especially young adults. One, every time I sought the will of God. The will of God. And every time as I sought the will of God, the question will be asked. Is it coincidence or is it chance? Or is it the controlling, sovereign will of God that I have come into this circumstance? Is this an accident? Is it a chance? And this was a question I kept on asking. And every time the Lord confirmed to me his will in this way, how he ordered the circumstances so that I could be what he wanted to be, only to be what he wants me to be, every moment of the day. And that's what he did. And I'm going to show you instance after instance of what he did for me. Second one, the word of God. Oh, I was serious. I was serious. I was keen on the study of the word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's what I hoped to be. I was not ashamed, and I was able to stand up proud on this, that I know the word of the Lord. And then I searched the scriptures. If things that came to my mind, came to my path, I doubted if they were true or not. I searched the scriptures like the noble Bereans to say, to find out whether if these things were so. The third one, I was greatly involved in the work of the Lord. I became a teacher. Was I a teacher? Because I happened to be a teacher, and then after that a Christian. Or because I was called to be a teacher. This is only true, that I was a Christian and the Lord called me to be a teacher. And therefore, that my becoming a teacher was a calling. Just as the Lord would call a person to be a missionary, the Lord would call me to be a teacher. I wanted to be a missionary, as you will find out later on. But the Lord did not call me to be a missionary. The Lord called me to be a teacher. And therefore, in my teaching profession, it was the Lord first and my teaching career second. I've got to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith I've been called. Just as I was called, as you will learn next week, to go out into the deep to serve the Lord, I was called to be a teacher. You need to be called into your career. What career you are in now, I hope you know your calling. Because when you know your calling, then you will walk in your career to the glory of God. Firstly, the ways of God. My life had to conform to the challenge of the word of God. Now, in my time, and I'll tell you later on how it came about also, there was tremendous emphasis on a separated holy life. You must be separate. You must not let the world entangle you. And therefore, worldliness was our great enemy. And in our preaching, in our teaching, we stress a lot on worldliness. Nothing to do with the world, but to live a life of holiness unto the Lord. And always knowing the word, to let the word govern us in our walk with God. And so these will be the four factors that govern me in my growth as a Christian. Now, please note what I'm saying to you in all this is the time before I was commended as a worker. When I was like you, as an engineer, as a doctor, as a clerk, as a nurse, whoever you may be, I'm just like you. God called me to be that. Hopefully you know that God called you to be a nurse, to be a clerk, to be a chemist, whatever it is, that you know God's will for your life. All right. I was fortunate. Immediately after my baptism, I was introduced to all things Christian. I was baptized on a Sunday. Monday, I went to school. And straight away, I was introduced to the Burma Road Hall, PFS, Penang Free School Prayer Group. During the break, the members, young people from Burma Gospel Hall, we gathered together in Mr. Tan Wah Kim's house. At that time when I went, the leader was Dr. Chan Kok Yew. He was the leader. And then we were introduced to the use of the Daily Light. The Daily Light would be a devotional book with Bible texts that compiled together to form a message. And that Daily Light, which I was introduced to in 1950, I still use today because I got it as a present from Mr. Wilson on my wedding day. And up to today, over 50 years already, I still use that Daily Light every Sunday with my wife as we spend our time in worship. So I was introduced to prayer. Then I was introduced to the Emir's Bible Correspondence course. Mr. A. Phillips started the Emir's Bible School Depot in Balmoral Gospel Hall. And I was introduced to that course, and I did the courses faithfully. The Emir's Bible courses at that time were not easy ones. There's a section called Thought and Research Questions. And I had to search the Bible. I had to look up commentaries, concordance to answer the questions. There were no such thing as true, false, true, false, true, false, true, false, right or wrong. They were difficult questions, and that's how I developed. And Mr. A. Phillips himself personally checked and corrected all my lessons. Then I was introduced to the group Bible study, where we have formed a group and we studied the Bible. And that group that was formed were called by the others Holy Joes, by the people, the young people at Bumble Gospel Hall. What's the background to this? My time, sad to say, there was a division. The rich and the poor. We were the poor, and they were the rich. And they were the good friends of the elders and the missionaries. And they enjoyed all the privileges. And we were sort of marginalized. And anyway, we formed a group to study the Bible, the Holy Joes. And these were the pioneers. Many of you would not know Mr. Michael Toh. On the left, Wasin Chai, passed away already. Robert Ho, Chang Hong Leong, still in U.S., and Yun Wai Ching. These were the Holy Joes starting that group, and we had a difficult time. First, we met at the wing of Bumper Gospel Hall. The elders came to know about it. The elders drove it out. You cannot use that hall in the weekdays. You cannot use. Get out. Then went to my house. My house was not a Christian house. So there was noise. So we could not do anything. So I was a teacher in Wellesley Primary School then. We went to Wellesley Primary School. And there, we were driven away by the guard. And so what to do? We cycled all the way to Springtide. And the beach there, we gathered together. And then later on, we went to Hutton Lane. And that was the beginning of problems for us. Because that Hutton Lane house belonged to a member of the other group, whom we call Beyond Redemption. So, but she came to know about redemption, and she came to us to join the Holy Joes. And soon a group of younger girls came to join us, and that's where we traveled. From the pulpit there, we were scolded and we were rebuked by the elders, by the missionaries, Sunday after Sunday. Why? Immorality. They accused us of immorality because the sisters came in. But later on, very kindly, Mr. A.E. Phillips, one elder, influenced by the wife, Mrs. Phillips, she was very good to us. She said, let us open our house to them. And 51 Service Road became a springboard for many Bible students at that time. Shall tell you later on. So next come my personal devotions. What did I do to help to make sure that I got a clear relationship with God? Every day I would study At that time, I used the scripture union notes, the daily bread, the study notes, daily light, as pointed out just now, and my utmost voice highest. These were the devotional books that I used at the very beginning. Difficult, but it brought me back to the point, to the Bible, because the scripture union would take you through the Bible in 5 years. Please, young adults, do not waste your time over those devotions that tell you a lot of stories. You enjoy those stories, but you never learn to master the Bible. There is no system to call you to go through the whole Bible in a certain period. Take something that will take you back to the text of the Bible. And then my personal Bible study, I started a Christian library of my own. I had no money. So with the little money I had, I started buying the cheap commentaries, the Moody Bible corporate library. One commentary, 60 cents only at that time, but it still cost quite a lot for me. So I built up, I bought only commentaries on Bible books. Then I started, as I grew older, when I became a teacher, I began to buy expository commentaries and Bible tools, concordance, dictionaries, and so on. And so I fill up my library with a lot of these Bible books. This is only one section. I have got at least three cupboards of this nature of book. And you will notice that on the left, all the Bible commentaries on the New Old Testament. On the right, all the Bible commentaries on the New Testament. And all are huge commentaries, all right, for one book of the Bible. And that's how I developed in my Christian life. Going deeply into the Word of the Lord and not just wasting my time on people's writings about the Bible, but people's studies and research on the exposition of the Bible. And so actively, I was still going to all my meetings at Balmoral Hall. I attended every meeting that I could. I did not stay away because I believed that being present at the meetings was important in my service for the Lord. I'd like you to note this, because a number of people have asked me, which Bible school have you gone to? Which Bible seminary have you gone to? I have never been to any Bible seminary. I have no letters behind my name. I have no letters in front of my name. I'm just a cheap clay pot. I have not only theological degrees, I do not have even academic degrees. I don't even have a Form 6 education. I don't even have letters behind my name as graduates, but I have BA. And BA means born again. That's the only degree that I have, BA. You can know that I have a qualification, Ankin Cheng BA, born again. So that's how I became what I am today, a clay pot. But this clay pot was used by the potter, molded by the potter to be what the Lord wanted him to be. Now, very quickly, to the summary for the young adults, because this is a challenge to the young adults. Young adults, I'm so happy to see in Balmoral Hall today many of you coming out on the pulpit, serving the Lord, going to other places. Today, two or three are not here. Why? They are preaching in other assemblies. First class, that's good. I'm seeing young adults coming up. Now, the other young adults, this is a challenge to you. Make these four your mottos. One, seek God's will for your life. Please know what God wants you to do. Second, study God's word to light your path. Know what God's word is. Master it. Not just learn about it from all the various stories being told by other commentators. Third, serve in God's work in your walk. Always serve the Lord where you can. Not only in the church, but elsewhere. If the Lord has called you to be a teacher, serve the Lord as a teacher, which I would like to emphasize as I go on after this. Stay in God's ways and live for Him. These are the four things you young adults should be aware of. As you grow in your profession, as you grow in your adult life, as you grow, please let these four govern your life. And I guarantee you, when these four factors govern your life, you will be what he wants you to be. Be committed unto him. Right, very quickly now, introduction to testifying for Christ through certain areas. Staying up at home. Now, today, you need to have a good testimony at home. I came from a pagan family, and I told you I had been to all the various temples, and I worshipped idols, and I held joss sticks. Well, when I became a Christian, I told my grandparents that I'm no more going to hold a joss stick. And, well, there were times when, for example, this one instance which had changed my whole life, there was this festival of the kitchen god going to report how the residents in the home behave. So on that day, they would give him a big, big feast to and tikwe to make sure that his lips are sweetened up so that he can go up to the god and told him and tell him that these people in the house are very, very good. They're sweet. So that was a sweetening of the lips and so on, so forth. And food was offered, and it was offered, of course, to these idols. And one day I came back from the Lord's Supper, came back, there was all the food on the kitchen floor, and no food for me. And I told my grandmother, don't worry, please not worry, just give me rice. Give me rice, white rice, because they did not use all the rice for the offering. And I asked for some tauyu and rice I ate. And that was my stand. And that changed my whole attitude and their attitude to me. After that, my grandmother would always make sure that there was something reserved and put aside so that I would have something to eat when they had their festivals. You must make a stand. If you don't make a stand, then it's difficult. My time, this was common. Every now and again, we hear of children being put out of their homes, being disowned by their homes, being persecuted by their parents because they stood up for the Lord, and especially among the Holy Jews. Oh, there was this persecution. Today, for many, many years in the past already, I've never heard of children, young people, being put out of their homes, being disowned by their parents. But my time, there was such a thing as we saw. What's happening? What's happening to the witness of our Christian today? Dare we stand up? Or because of certain persecution, we just cower and then we dare not stand up for the Lord? My studies in school, when I was in standard 8, form 4 now, because the next year would be Cambridge, my father said, no, you cannot be so active in the church now. You have got to stop. Because I was not clever. In free school, I was in 6D donkey, 6D donkey, 7D donkey, 8D donkey. And the next year, I would be in senior Cambridge. I would have to leave school already. And my father said, look, you have got to stop being a donkey. So, okay, I said, Father, and that was the time I'll tell you how I consecrated my life to the Lord. Say, you allow me to go to church. I promise you I will do well in my studies. And that year, I'll tell you how it happened. I did so well in my studies from a donkey. From a donkey, I went to SCA, Senior Cambridge A class. A class. I became an S from a donkey. So I could not take double credit science, because I did not take double credit science in Form 4 or Standard 8, so I had to ask the principal to let me go down to Standard 8, to SCB, in order for me to take the non-scientific science class. And so the Lord did wonderful things. When you consecrate your life, things change. He made things to happen that you can never imagine. And from that time onwards, all the years I passed, I filled my history in free school. That last year, I passed my history. All the years, I failed my mathematics. That year, I passed my mathematics with credit. And today, if you ask anybody now in preschool as a teacher, I'm well known for the teaching of mathematics. Even on my own, I was seeking to win souls for the Lord. And at that time, we were using pen pals. No email. Where got email? So we using pen pal correspondence. So we had a list of pen pals, and then we wrote to one another, and that's how my cousin came to know the Lord, as I wrote to him. And we had 13 done about bottle evangelism. You may be wondering what is bottle evangelism. I was going to Butterworth to serve the Lord there, and then I put trash in the plastic. On the way, I could be charged for littering. I threw all this plastic with trash onto the sea. Let the sailors keep them. Speaking of open air services at Coast Road, around the island, visiting. Now, all this was done during that time when I was a young adult, doing the Lord's work. Don't wait for other people to do things for you. Do it on your own. And there is a scene of the open air service at Coast Road every second Saturday of the month. And here's Mr. Tan Wah Kim preaching at Coast Road. You can recall the scenery there. Okay, so that was what I did when I was a young fella. Then involved in Sunday school teaching, and I started my Sunday school teaching in Standard 8 in the Chinese Sunday school. And I was teaching in Romanized Hokkien. Can you remember how difficult it was? I took 1 week every week to prepare my Sunday school lesson, because I had to study the Romanized Hokkien and I had to study English, translate the two, and then be able to present the story in Hokkien to the Chinese class. And of course, they laughed at me because of my intonation. All right, so these are the things that you can do as a young adult. Then, more importantly, I was introduced to tithes and missions. Okay, all right. Not tithes as one-tenth of your income, but tithe is putting aside your money for the Lord. I had to learn what it meant to be sacrificed. Now, during our young people's days, we had games outside here. Over this place here, there was a shed. And we would play games in this shed here. And after playing games, you would sweat and be tired. The Beyond Redemption, they had money. They would go to Union School outside the gate there. They would buy ice cream, ice kacang. I thought, wow, very nice to freshen themselves. But in the Bible class at 51 Service Road, we were taught to sacrifice for missions. Sacrifice. So we were tired, exhausted, thirsty. No, don't go there. We went to the tap water. I had tap water instead. With the money saved, we started to put into the Lord's fund. So every one of us was encouraged to put aside some money. And this would be called the Lord's fund for the Lord to use. And up to today, 2016, I still have the Lord's fund from that day. And today, if I receive any gifts from Christians, from assemblies, this will go to the Lord's fund. And from the Lord's fund, I would give out to missionaries, to missionaries, to individuals who would use it. And also to equip myself with more materials for the service of the Lord. This is the Lord's fund, used only for the Lord and for His glory. At that time, we also gave as one of the first mission, this BEM, Borneo Evangelical Mission, and today it's the CSIB. All right, so preparation for and in Christian service. This is how what you need to do. You must master the Bible. I was working from Monday to Friday as a teacher. Saturday I was free, so Saturday was the time to study the Bible. And in my house at the long table, I would take out all my commentaries, 7 or 8 of them, and I would study the commentaries. And that's where I studied, like this morning, the Feast of Jehovah, the Levitical offerings, the tabernacle. All those studies were done. You still hear me doing them today. But they were originally done years ago, when I was a young student. I'm studying all these things, learning through teaching from A to Z. The best way to learn is to teach. And so I started teaching. Now, go on to my professional career as a teacher. Remember, the Lord called me to be a teacher. The Lord did not call me to be a missionary at that time. I wanted to be a missionary. The Lord did not call me to be a missionary. The Lord called me to be a teacher. And as a teacher, He guided and he protected me, and he led me all the way. And here is my testimony. I served the Lord as a teacher for 38 years before I retired. I thought, now look at the experiences he gave me in order to prepare me for the Lord's service. I taught in the primary school. Primary school means today would be standard 1, standard 1, standard 2, standard 3, standard 4, standard 5, standard 6. At that time, it was standard 1, standard 2, 3, 4, 5, and then 6 would be in free school. I taught from young, secondary school, form 1, form 2, form 3, form 4. From there, I went on over from secondary school to be a senior assistant in a school, to be a headmaster, and then later on to a lecturer in a teacher's college. Can you see me teaching from standard one right up to preparing teachers to teach in the schools? How the Lord raised me up from one stage, the lowest, up to the highest. And while he raised me up professionally through all these stages, he prepared me to serve in the church, in the same area. Look, here is a timetable. Now, I'll spend some time here at this with this timetable. Call it coincidence, call it chance, call it what you will, but you can see the will of God. I think I'm the only one of the very few teachers who would study in the school and go back to the school again. All right, please note now. I was a student in Wellesley Primary School in 1946. I went back there as a teacher, 1954-57. All right. I was a student in the feeder school, Center 3, 4, 5, Hutchings School. I went back there as a teacher, also during a time when I was doing training. Then from Hutchings School, Primary School, I went to Free School, and I went back there as a teacher for 12 years. Then I was under training, normal class training, in Northern Road Girls' School. I went back there as a lecturer in the teacher's college, Matap Perguruan Sri Pinang. It's fantastic. Every place where I was educated in, I went back there as a teacher to serve. But not only that, I not only served professionally, but also served the Lord. Let's see. Let's see what happened. It's very interesting to see how the Lord gained control in my life. Like, when I was in Hutchings School, I was transferred to Bandar Pas English School. At that time, to go to Bandar Pas English School, like going to Africa. 10 miles from town, and along one single road, Cowboy Town. And there you see only paddy fields only, nothing more. I was transferred. I got shot. How could I go to a Malay school? Because it's a Malay school, to teach English there, Bandar Pas English School. So, and in the Bible class, 51 Service Road, we were all taught, Sunday must be a day used for the Lord, no matter what happens. And even when I sat for my Form 5 examination, yes, School Cambridge examination, the day before, I never studied. On a Sunday, I never studied. Monday examination, never mind. You either honor God, God will honor. And I believe that. And throughout my years of study and education, I never studied on Sunday because I believed that Sunday must be for the Lord. And I still taught Sunday school on a Sunday. Then transferred to Bandar Pas English School. You have to teach on a Sunday. How can that be? Lord, cannot. So on my own will, no, because I was influenced by the Bible class in 51 Service Road. No, I cannot teach on a Sunday. I went immediately to see the organizer of schools, the education department. Sir, I'm a Christian. I cannot teach on a Sunday. Oh, yeah. Okay. Because he was a Christian too. He's a UK band. He was a Christian too. And 1 week only I was in Bandar Pas English School, he sent me to Wellesley Primary School. And I was stationed there. Oh, I forgot to tell you about how I became a teacher. Yes, I forgot to tell you about that. How did I become a teacher? Standard 8, I prayed, Lord, please show me. Next year, I'm going to leave school. What should I do? And as I read my Bible, as I read through the word, teach, 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 keep on coming up. Lord, if you wanted me a teacher, go before me, open the door so that I can walk through easily. And when I was in Form 5, near December, I got my class got a note from the principal, and he said, anyone who wants to be a teacher, send in your name through the monitor to my office. Send my name, lah. So I sent in my name, and the next year, February, I got my interview. And who was at the interview board? Mr. Chia In Kiong, the one who donated the pews at Balmoral Gospel Hall. Mr. Wee Kay Ben, Methodist Church. Two Christians among three. And they told me, you know, you're too young. You're 16 plus only. We can only receive a teacher when minimum age 17. Sir, don't worry. When you appoint me, I shall be already 17. Oh, really? And true enough, when they appointed me, I was already past 17. So that's how I became a teacher. Never even wrote a letter of application. So the Lord opened the door for me. And now back to Wellesley Primary School. So that period, 54 to 57, was during my normal class training. So after training, the department, very clever. You just cannot decide. Send me back. Send me to Butterworth. Send me to Butterworth. Teach in which school? A Malay school. Bagan Jemaah Malay School. Bagan Ajam Malay School. Teach English there. Wow. Lord, how can that be, man? I just escaped from Bandapas. And now you send me to teach fully there. How can you do that to me? The Lord had a purpose. First, I learned that I must not keep Sunday just as a ritual. Second, I learned, be submissive to His will. If He sends you there, there. And it was there at that time that our brother Hong Leong, who was in charge of the Butterworth Sunday School, left for England, and I took over. And so, teaching English, I only a few periods per day. So the rest of the day, I just spent time reading the Word of God, preparing my Sunday school lesson, and I became a teacher in Butterworth Sunday School during that period. And that's how the Lord coordinated that for me. Then, 1960, the Lord taught me a lesson. After Butterworth, I applied. Lord, please send me back to Penang. It's difficult for me to travel every day like that over to Butterworth. And you know, at that time, going on the ferry was a torture because it's open air, and then it's going up, down, up, down, up, down to reverse because you cannot go either way. So it had to be like that. So I said, Lord, send me back, Lord. And the Lord answered, send me back. And where did He send me back to? He sent me back to Bandapas Primary School. Back to the same school where I ran away from. I was just like a Jonah. I was learning lessons from Him. He was teaching me precious lessons. And so I was Bandapas, but I was still helping out in the Butterworth work in Gospel Hall, which started in 1959. So I was about 10 years, about 7-8 years in Bandapas, and I asked, Lord, it's time that I come away from the primary school. I've been in my primary school for so many years already. I want to upgrade myself a bit. And I applied to go to STTI, Specialty Teachers Training Institute, to be a specialist teacher there. And so, but before I went, I did a lot of research and study. All the graduates from STTI who came out, graduated, every one of them was sent back to their hometown. There was a basic course there, would be sent back outside. Good. So if I go to STTI, being a specialist teacher, I would be sent back to my hometown. So at the end of 1967, the result came. Of course, I graduated and transferred, posted. Where would I be posted to? Posted? SMRK Muntakap. Hey, I'm not supposed to be posted outside my hometown after graduating from STTI. And how come I was being posted to Pahang? And so, the lecturer, my own lecturer himself, was surprised. So he went even to apply to the CEO of Kuantan. Please let him come back. No, whatever is in black and white, he is supposed to go back. And so poor me, in tears, traveling the 40 to 80 miles. 80 miles to Kuantan, 40 miles, Beng Tong Road, winding, never been there before, never traveled there before. And there I was, separated from wife, separated from daughter. It was a bitter lesson for me. Lord, I'm doing your will. How can you do this to me? News of my transfer to Muntakap, which was near to Temerloh Gospel Chapel at that time. Gospel, it was an interdenominational church at that time. The people heard about me. So when I went there to want to go to the church, they had open arms. Welcome, Mr. Ang. They were filled with tears of joy. And I was had tears of sadness in me. I was crying. That the Lord had purpose. Why did the Lord send me there? Why? And that minister of education, K. Johari, first time, I can never forget him, he changed that policy, sending graduates from STTI outside and sending the basic course teachers back to their hometown. So that's that. So you know why? Because just before I reported in Temerloh, Mr. Roger Dalberg was the missionary there, and he left them. And at that particular time, that interdenominational church wanted to join the assemblies. And they did not know what to do. Dr. Ng Eng Kee was a Methodist, and he applied to JIC to help them. But JIC said, we don't have the members to help. And so they were at a loss. So when they were at a loss and they cried to the Lord for help, that they would like to be an assembly, whom did the Lord send? Myself, lah. All the way from Penang. So I went there more than 1 year, I would be there. And I was told that if you are sent to the rural school to be posted there, you have to be there for 5 years. 5 years. I say, how to be separated from my wife and my daughter, just born 3 months old only, for 5 years. But, well, for that 1 whole year, I never worked so hard. I studied the Bible. I had a Bible class there every Friday. I taught them all the principles and practices of the assembly. And in my school, they knew that I was a preacher there. And the students in my class, I never influenced them. They came to the Temerloh Gospel Chapel when I was preaching. And by the time I left, half the class had come to know the Lord. And without my preaching in the class. But the worst thing was this. The best thing was this. At the end of the year, I applied for a transfer back to Penang. I said, Lord, please, I have done my work. I do not know what to go to teach anymore. Because I taught them all that is necessary to be an assembly. Lord, send me back. And so I sent in my letter application. March, April, then you know what happened? My old form teacher, Tan Boon Lin, from Penang Free School, was the first Asian headmaster in Penang Free School, was transferred from Penang Free School to be the CEO of Kuantan. So I went to the Kuantan Education Department, asked, sir, can you remember me? Of course. Naughty boys, they don't forget. So, sir, I have been transferred here for a long time already. Can you transfer me back? Of course, go back. The previous one would not, because he wanted this. He wanted this from me. So I refused. So God sent Mr. Boon Lin over there, and May the 1st, he transferred him back, and I landed in Penang Free School. And what happened? Less than 1 week, May 13 happened, 1969. May 13. Can you imagine what would happen to me and my wife? No email, no phone, no easy communication. I staying more or less in the jungle there, and my wife in town, how to communicate, we would be very worried. But the Lord was so good. The Lord sent me back. And many of my colleagues, they said, you must have been pulling a lot of cables. 1 year, you would be there for 5 years. I said, yeah, I pull a lot of cables. These were high cables. Yeah. So, you see, when you trust the Lord will do wonderful things for you. Now, I have no time now to go on, but I will carry on with this. Then you see how the Lord can use you if you are committed. I have been in God's Bible school. And as Moses was in the wilderness for 40 years, then God called him out. Paul was in Arabia for 3 years. Then God called him out. So God called me out after 45 years, 1950 to 1995, to launch out into the deep in 1996 when I became a commandant worker and to be connected with this assembly here. So I'll continue with this story next week. And as I say, may the Lord have all his glory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy goodness and greatness. We pray, O Lord, that you will so challenge the young adults in this assembly here, also to seek thy will, to study thy word, to be involved in thy work, and above everything else, to walk in ways that will glorify thee, so that, Lord, they may be what thou would have them to be. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Just a little while we get the slides up. Now, Mr. Ang has kind of introduced a precedent to speakers, that when you speak, you should be singing too. So you sing, then only you speak. Okay, this short while, we are just taking the opportunity to have a very short service, a commemoration, a special commemoration service for our brother Mr. Ang. I hope you can finish quickly and then come down. Now, this special commemoration service is actually for him, as he has celebrated, in a way to celebrate with him this 20 years of work for God. And to celebrate this very special service, we have lined up a few things. Mr. Ang is actually well known as far as when he does his presentation, he will have 4 A's and 4 S's maybe. But we're going to introduce 7 S's today. All right? He has, in this month or so, been already celebrated with the other assemblies, and one of which I saw was on Butterworth Gospel Hall. He said that, "Happy 20th anniversary in the Lord's service." Okay, it's an anniversary as far as the other assemblies are concerned, but for us in Burmerode Hall, it is a very special day in a sense that it is a commemoration service that we are going to hold for him. He has been with us for many years, and one of the friends that he has, or rather one of the Christian brothers he has had in Burmerode, has been over 60 years, 60-odd years, I think. And he's none other than Mr. Tan Tiong Ling. Okay? Mr. Tan Tiong Ling has been with the assembly for more than 60 years. And they have met, I believe, was in probably the BRH free school group. So without any further ado, can I just ask Mr. Tan Tiong Ling up here to say a few words?
Okay. Now, after hearing Mr. Ang's testimony, it makes my work very much easier when I talk about him. Right? I want to first of all thank the oversight for giving me this honor of saying a few words on the about our brother Ang Kim Cheng's 20th anniversary as a commended full-time itinerant Bible teacher. 20 years ago, I was present at his commendation, and I was asked to pray at his commendation. Now, Mr. Ang didn't just became a Bible teacher 20 years ago. Way back before the 20 years, he was already a Bible teacher. Only that 20 years ago, he was a commended Bible teacher. Right? Mr. Ang called me his comrade in arms many times, simply meaning that I have been a fellow worker with him for many, many years. I have been a soldier of Christ with him for many, many years. Brother Kim Cheng started serving the Lord, as you have heard, over 60 years ago. He started when he was a youth, as you have heard. And he has contributed much to the work of the assemblies. He pioneered in the work of two Sunday schools, as we've seen also. He started with Taylor Road Sunday School in the home of Mr. Yap Fuk Chong in Cheesman Garden. And Taylor Road today has become an assembly, IGGC. Now, he also pioneered in the work in Butterworth, as you saw on the pioneered in the work of Butterworth. And at that time, there was no assembly in Butterworth yet. We started the Sunday school work in Butterworth. We were given some classes in a Chinese school to hold the Sunday school. And it was not long after that that the board of the Chinese school learned that they have made a mistake in permitting us to use the Chinese Sunday school, Chinese school for Sunday schools. And so we were all kicked out from the Chinese school. And we had to move from place to place to hold our Sunday school. And it was many years after that that Butterworth Gospel Hall was built and we could have our Sunday school there. Then I want to touch on Mr. Ang's, Brother Kim Cheng's other contributions. Now, apart from the Sunday school, he was, as you've heard, that very, very interested in the study of God's Word, and he committed his life to the study of God's Word. He became a commended full-time worker, just not overnight. The years of preparations he has put in to prepare himself for this work. If you go to his house today, you'll find cupboards and cupboards full of books, as he has shown us just now. And he has invested thousands and thousands of dollars on these books so that he can be a competent servant of the Lord. Now, this is what Brother Kim Cheng has done. Then, as you've also heard, he was an AVA man, meaning that he was trained in the use of audio video equipment in his work. And he became a lecturer in the Maktab in Northern Road, teaching AVA. And he introduced a lot of the concepts of audiovisual aids to Christian ministry. First, he introduced flannel graph teaching to Christian ministry. And then he introduced overhead projection. Many of us learn how to use the overhead projector for Christian ministry from him. That was long before you have this PowerPoint presentation that we have now, that you have just seen today. Now, he also started a resource center in Burma Road Gospel Hall. It is still there over in the annex. Huh? The resource center still keeps back some of the items that were used in the Sunday school in the overhead projection period. Now, that's what Mr. Ang has contributed in that area, AVA area. And he has often said that what you can see and what you can hear will remain in your mind much, much better than just plain speaking. So he has advocated the use of AVA in the assembly, in Christian work. Also, we move on to the next area. He started what is called a mission night. The mission night. And at the mission night, he formed a committee to run the mission night. And they write to missionaries in the mission field. Then they receive news from the mission field. Then they pass this on in a combined gathering of assembly members called a mission night. And the mission night has done a tremendous work for all the assemblies. We've learned to pray for the missionaries who are in the field serving the Lord. We've learned to write to them to encourage them. We've learned to give to mission field. Thousands and thousands of dollars have been channeled to the needs of the various mission fields through the mission night efforts. And we, above all, I think we have seen that through the mission night, we have sent out missionaries from our own assemblies to the mission field. We have our sister May Lai to Indonesia. We have our sister Annie Koo to Cambodia. Huh? And we have Sister Wong Yi Ling from Sungai Nibong, who has gone to Kazakhstan for a year. And we have also seen Mr. and Mrs. Daniel Lee, Daniel and Jenny, who have gone to serve in Cambodia for 1 year. Now, these are all the results, the efforts of the mission night. And we thank God for that. And finally, we want to talk about Mr. Ang's commendation as the full-time itinerant Bible teacher. Now, that happened 20 years ago, and 20 years today, he is still going on. 20 years ago, his life was really, really hectic. Moving from one assembly to another, teaching the Word of God. And many, many people have greatly benefited from it. And his efforts have been so much appreciated that he has been invited out to many, many countries to teach the Word of God. He's been to Australia. He's been to Taiwan. He's been to Singapore. He's been to Thailand, Myanmar, Cambodia. And I'm not too sure if Mr. Ang has been to Indonesia also. Mr. Ang? Yes, yes, he says. He nodded his head. He's been to Indonesia as well. To teach the word. Now, I might have left out one or two countries. India, I forgot. India. Now, he's been there as well to teach the word of God. And truly, Mr. Ang has become an international Bible teacher. Not a local Bible teacher only, but an international one as well. All right? So, as I said, all this didn't come overnight. The years of preparation, the money spent to reach that level, we thank God for that. And in closing, I just want to say that Mr. Ang has given the best years of his youth, the best years of his working life, the best years of his married life, and even the best years of his retirement life. He became a commended Bible teacher after his retirement, and he is still going on, albeit less hectic now. He has slowed down a bit, but still going on. He has set a wonderful example for all of us to follow, especially the younger ones. Thank you.
Mr. Tan, can you just stay there? Can we just invite Mr. and Mrs. Ang up on stage right now? Now we're going to pass a souvenir to Mr. Ang and also Mrs. Ang in commemoration of his 20 years, you know, as a commended worker. Mr. Tan will pass it on to him right now. And we will request that Mr. and Mrs. Ang open up that to show to the assembly. It is a photo frame of both Mr. and Mrs. Ang as depicted in the PowerPoint. Okay, now we'll call upon Mr. Ong to just say a word, a prayer, before we adjourn for our breakfast.
I have something to present to Mr. Ang. You all know my favorite food, good curry. And some of you may not know, I actually married my wife because she can cook curry. So the most important item in our kitchen, you all should know it, cheap, common clay pot. That's very important to us because we like to eat curry. I think Mr. Ang, two things I like to say about him is that he is a good teacher, and from the very beginning of my Christian life, I learned how he is very serious in preparing the Word of God. There were so many books with his long tables, and it showed me that he took a lot of time to prepare God's messages. Some of the young people, we can know whether you spend time to prepare messages or not by the presentation and the material that you give to us. So make sure that you do some work like him. I think he's a very good example. He buys books. Today, he can always go online without paying thousands of dollars. And the other thing about him is about his time. He's has been serving the Lord. Now, many would have resigned. Some resigned, retired at the age of 60. Some perhaps even earlier. But he is telling us he's a Caleb, almost 80 and still strong, able to conquer, able to go forth for the kingdom of the Lord. But sometimes he does forget. I think we heard his call and commendation at the Green Lane Hall. We gave him 2 weeks, but he finished his 2 weeks talking about his call. He probably would have not remember that, but we all remember that. So I think with that, I, on behalf of you, Bomaro Gospel Hall, we'd like to present him a small fellowship gift before we pray, and also to give thanks for the food.
So thank you so much. We will adjourn to Agape for our breakfast, which is specially prepared for this commemoration service.